Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 363, the five stanzas. From the depths do I invoke thee, O Lord, to me incline thy ear. To my voice be thou attentive, and my supplication hear, and what follows, 363, the five stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 15, the verses 21 through 47. And afterwards from the confession of faith, Article 21. Mark 15, beginning with verse 21. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eliu, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly, this man was the Son of God. There were also women looking on far off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him. And many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, that Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, beheld where he was laid. From the Confession of Faith, Article number 21, the satisfaction of Christ, our only High Priest for us. We believe that Jesus Christ is ordained with an oath to be an everlasting High Priest after the order of Melchizedek, and that he hath presented himself in our behalf before the Father to appease his wrath by his full satisfaction, by offering himself on the tree of the cross and pouring out his precious blood to purge away our sins. As the prophets had foretold, for it is written, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and numbered with the transgressors, and condemned by Pontius Pilate as a malefactor, though he at first declared him innocent. Therefore, he restored that which he took not away, and suffered the just for the unjust, as well in his body as in his soul, feeling the terrible punishment which our sins had merited, insomuch that his sweat became like unto drops of blood falling on the ground. He called out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And has suffered all this for the remission of our sins. Wherefore we justly say with the Apostle Paul that we know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. We count all things but loss and dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose wounds we find all manner of consolation. Neither is it necessary to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than this only sacrifice once offered, by which believers are made perfect forever. This is also the reason why he was called by the angel of God, Jesus, that is to say, Savior, because he should save his people from their sins. We hope to remember Mr. and Mrs. Jeremy and Emily the Cook, who were blessed with the birth of a daughter this morning. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it is pleased thee in thy great mercy that thou hast brought us and our children up to thy courts, to thy house of prayer. Oh, what a privilege and what a blessing. We're in many places upon the earth. It is not possible, and great multitudes have no desire. And then in this evening hour, then our forefathers have thought it profitable that there were times that in a special way we would be given to pause, to stand still, to meditate, to consider the deep suffering of thy dear Son and his death on the cross. Ah, Lord, then we humbly ask thee that thou may grant light, that in this evening, and who is sufficient unto these things, to declare and portray the riches of the cross of thy dear Son, where he was crucified, where he has died, where he has offered himself as that sacrifice, so God glorifying, and so soul-saving and satisfying. Ah, Lord, then we need the work of the Spirit by the first time, but also by renewal. We humbly beg of thee for the unconverted. When we are called in this evening to stand at the foot of the cross, when they may be given to behold his suffering and death, that they may be given to see the exceeding sinfulness of sin, to behold thy justice, where thy justice requires satisfaction for our sin, by us or by another. Ah, Lord, for the unconverted, then the cross declares that there is a sacrifice for sin, but we need to become partaker thereof. And now thy dear Son is not only a mediator who has merited salvation, but he sitteth at thy right hand and also applieth that salvation. Then by the Holy Spirit, then he makes room in the hearts of poor sinners. Ah, they shall learn that they can never satisfy themselves, that they can never pay the debt, but that is only possible through thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, that on this evening hour that sinners may be converted, as thou hast done it when thy Son was crucified. We read of a thief. We read of a centurion. The world may still stand, because there are still those under the seal of election for whom thy dear Son has suffered and died, that they must and shall be brought forth. Lord, thou knowest how that each and every one of us have come up to thy house. Ah, may there have come up souls with a need, with a great need, with a desire, with a longing, for a thirsting for righteousness, with a debt upon their back, that burden which they cannot get rid of. Ah, Lord, may it take place in this evening that souls which have been bitten by the serpent, exercised with death and with eternity, that they may be brought to the foot of the cross, and that they may be given to look, oh, a look of true and saving faith upon the dear Son of God, that they may be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, thou knowest that it is all thy work. 'Tis the work of thy Spirit. And shall thou now uncover souls to their lost condition? Shall thou shed that love abroad in their heart? And shall thou not fulfill their desire? Ah, may thou do it in this evening hour. Grant unto thy people that further light may fall on the cross of Calvary, to be further instructed in the precious meritorial work of thy dear Son, to be comforted with that sacrifice, where he has cried out, "It is finished." He has merited eternal life for them. Lord, wilt thou so richly dwell amongst us, and that there may be many fruits in this evening hour upon the glorious message all the apostle has declared, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Wilt thou bless thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Remember our brother elder when in this evening hour he may be in the branch. Wilt thou grant thy help and grant thy blessing? Then in this morning hour, then thou wast blessed, then thou wast gladdened, a father and mother by renewal in their married life, with the birth of a little daughter. Then thou wast made all things well. Wilt thou grant humble and broken hearts to be given to end in thee, and that they may be given to fervently beg, that ye may be a little one for thee, one for thy honor and thy glory, together with the other children. Wilt thou strengthen the mother? We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing and their increased responsibility. Wilt thou remember all the mothers with the unborn? We commend unto thee the sick and the afflicted, the daughter in a faraway hospital, where she is recovering, but very slowly, where she is weak and frail. Ah, Lord, wilt thou spread thy gracious wings over her, and that in due time that thou may grant, because that is thy work, that in due time that she may partake of food and of drink. Wilt thou uphold the parents in this trying way, and that the calling may be sanctified? Wilt thou remember all under the physician's care in special ways? Remember sick relatives. Remember the crosses and burdens. Remember the family circles. Lord, we now graciously and humbly ask for thy help in this evening hour. May our eyes be upon thee. May thy word go forth with power divine. Wilt thou go from bench to bench and from heart to heart for those that are lawfully entered? Wilt thou bless them in their dwellings and impress it upon all of our hearts that in this evening hour, when we are gathered with our thoughts out of thy holy word around the cross of thy dear Son, with all the solemn things that have taken place, that we cannot remain the same. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then stretch out thy mighty hand? Wilt thou convert what is unconverted? Wilt thou remember thy children and pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. And what follows? Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 7, 8, and 9.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Mark 15, the verses 37, 38, and 39, where God's word and our text reads thus: "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" Our text words speak of the work of a triune God concerning the cross of Calvary, with three thoughts. In the first place, the Son's pronounced victory. Secondly, the Father's remarkable testimony. And in the third place, the Spirit's wonderful application. The work of a triune God concerning the cross of Golgotha. The Son's pronounced victory in verse 37. The Father's remarkable testimony in verse 38. And the Spirit's wonderful application in verse 39. Thus first, the Son's pronounced victory. Beloved congregation, in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we may come together to remember and consider the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Golgotha. Then this day is called Good Friday. Why is this day called Good Friday, boys and girls? Because on this day, then we may consider the sacrifice of the Son of God, so God glorifying, so soul saving, and so soul satisfying. Thus it may be proclaimed for each and every boy and girl, man and woman, that there is a sacrifice for sin. And have you now asked the Lord, young and old, whether it may truly become a Good Friday in this day? When shall it now truly be a Good Friday? When there may be sinners, when they are given to look upon that cross and given to see the holy justice of the Father and the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that there needs to be satisfaction for my sin, and that we would come in the need and become true beggars at the throne of grace and ask the Lord whether that sacrifice may also be for me. Bake us concerning Good Friday. We have heard it, we have learned it from Reverend Hellenbrook, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only a mediator who merits salvation, that is necessary, but he is also a mediator that applies salvation. Oh, what would be Good Friday when needy, poor, and needy souls with the Lord's love shed abroad in their heart, thirsting and hungering after righteousness, souls that have tried to pay that debt and satisfy justice and have learned that they are a sinner still, where it seems to be going all backwards, that they are as those children of Israel, bitten by the serpent and where that poison through their whole body, that is what uncovered souls learn, and that by the Spirit's leading, they may be brought with that burden of sin upon their back, to the foot of the cross, and in a glance, by true saving faith, upon that Son, for the pardoning of sins. Oh, John has declared in John 1 verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Then the cross of Christ declares that nothing can be added, shall be added, and need to be added. Oh, it shall be Good Friday for the people of God, when more light, extra light, may shine upon that cross and be given to see what it has cost the dear Son of God to save them. And do we not read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn as ones that mourn for an only son? Then Christ was nailed on the cross. That was a terrible death. Then such a one, the cross was laid on the ground, and then the arms were stretched wide, and then the soldiers would take large nails, and they would hammer them through the hands and through the feet. Can understand, boys and girls, how terrible, painful that was. They tell us that that word crucifixion, that it has been coined to express the exceeding pain that such a one suffered, that it was a shameful death, because they have hung naked on the cross. It was a contemptible death. It was a cursed death, because we read in the Bible, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. It was a very slow death. Many times there were those that have hung on the cross for days. Then each breath was, as it were, a death. And when we consider the Son of God, then many times, then we think of the pain that such a one suffered, but the greatest suffering was the suffering of the soul. He has exclaimed in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. In John 17, in his high priestly prayer, then he has addressed his Father. The first crossword, what is that, boys and girls? First crossword, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Then Christ is still addressed God as Father. But in the fourth crossword, at the end of 3-hour darkness, there was no room for Christ upon the earth. There was no room for him in heaven, and so he is hung between the heavens and between the earth. The sun has refused to shine. He has bore the great wrath of God against sin. He has experienced what the lost shall experience in hell, the agony of soul. And then in the middle crossword, then he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, O young and old? Then the cross of Christ that declares the justice of God, the exceeding sinfulness of sin, but also the love of God for sinners, that he has bore the wrath of God for his people. When we have read Article 21 of the Confession of Faith, was there a special word, congregation, or a few words that you desired to embrace? Maybe a few have sent up a sigh, Lord, may I now be included in those words, because then the instructors have spoken of the living church of God, and then he has used the word our and us, that Christ has paid for the sins of his people. It was necessary that Christ would not be beheaded, because the Passover lamb, there was not one bone broken. It was necessary he could not be stoned, because they read in Hebrews 9, verse 22, that without the remission of, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He must resemble the types of all the sacrifices that were killed and that were lifted up on the altar and consumed. And now in our text words that we read, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, and that was a voice that was heard in heaven. The angels were given to rejoice. That was a voice that was heard in hell. They were given to tremble. And that was a voice that was heard upon the earth. Then concerning the fifth crossword, what is that, boys and girls, the fifth one? I thirst. It's true, it is written in John 19, the verses 28 and 29, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And it is true that the bodily thirst of Christ was very extreme. But he has also asked for that drink. And it is good that we separate the two drinks. The first, when he was crucified, he refused, because that was a drink to make people numb, that they would not feel the full pain, but that Christ has refused. Oh, the love of Christ and the joy. As I read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy that was set before him, he has endured the cross, and now the joy was his black bride, and then he was so willing to pay such a rich dowry, to shed his own precious blood, that black bride, because we read in Psalm 2, the verses 7 and 8, that as a reward upon his meritorial work, that he would receive that bride, that sinful bride, as a reward upon his labors. And now they have given him something to drink, that he was enabled with a loud voice to cry out the last two crosswords, the sixth, it is finished, that means it is paid, and to that end, Good Friday, many times called the payday of the church, that Christ has paid everything for his people, that there is nothing left to be paid, a sacrifice so sufficient and so full. O people of God, may it be granted in this evening hour by an eye of faith to look upon him who was white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000s. He was that Passover lamb we have told you, boys and girls, a few weeks ago, that Passover lamb was white, and then that Passover lamb became black because of the sins of his people. And then when he was crucified, he became red. And then with that satisfaction where he was acquitted, then by renewal he became that white and pure lamb of God. And now he was given to cry out with a loud voice. And then when we compare the scriptures, then he is first, then it is clear that he has conquered death, because as a general rule, those that were crucified, they became fainter and fainter, they ebbed away. But so it was not with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read in Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. In Matthew it is written, he yielded. In Mark, in our text, he gave. Thus then we see in the life of Christ that he was placed in the hands of men, that they have nailed him to the cross, but that at the end of his life when he died, then he returned into the hands of the Father, never to fall into the hands of man anymore. Oh, on the great day of judgment, then it shall all be turned around. Then we shall all stand before the great white throne to be judged. Our second thought, the Father's remarkable testimony. And then we read, after Jesus cried with a loud voice, he bowed his head, gave up the ghost, that declares the victory over death and also the victory over the devil, because in the mother promise, Genesis 3 verse 15, that enmity then the head of Satan would be bruised, and that has now taken place with the death of Christ. And then we read, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Then that thick veil that is hung between the holy place and the holy of holies. And we read that veil was made of white linen, and upon him it was embroidered three colors, blue, purple, and scarlet. And those three colors are mentioned in that order 24 times in the Old Testament. And blue, that is the color of the sky, the heavens, where the Lord reigneth, where the Lord sitteth in thrones. Thus that speaks of his majesty. Purple, that is a royal color, a kingly color. And when we think of scarlet, think of Isaiah 1 verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet. And now that veil has hung between the two parts of the tabernacle and of the temple. And behind that veil was the ark with the mercy seat, with two cherubims, two angels looking down and that on that mercy seat. And now through that veil, no one was allowed to go. Then it would be a certain death. And upon that veil, and those colors were embroidered, cherubims. Where is the first time in the Bible that we read of cherubims? That is in Genesis 3, verse 24. After Adam and Eve, the Lord has slain animals, also a passion sermon. And then the Lord, from those animals which had shed their blood, he has made long coats. And then those fig leaves from Adam and Eve, they must be removed before those long coats were put upon him. Have we learned at congregation that all our fig leaves, all our attempts, all our striving, although it is a blessing, when there is that striving, that is the way that we learn it. Otherwise, we can know it with our mind, that we cannot be saved by our works, but then it is only a head knowledge. But now the Lord has a people in the workhouse that are so busy, that work so strenuously, and that learn with all their attempts, with their works, that they are a sinner still, only becoming worse, and yet it is a people that cannot miss the Lord. And now the Lord has driven Adam and Eve out of paradise, and then at that entrance, at that gate, there were cherubims that held a sword that turned every way. Thus, when someone would come close to that gate, then they would see that sword from all sides. And that is not a strange matter when the Lord works by his Spirit. Then they are exercised with death and with eternity, hell and heaven. Then the prayers are multiplied, but now the Spirit, he grants that faith, hope, and love, and on account of that love, they cannot miss the Lord. And yet that those cherubims and that large veil, then there are souls that have much to do with it. And then they learn that they can never go through that veil, because then they must die. As so it was in the tabernacle, as so it was in the temple. And now the priests, the morning, the evening sacrifice, also the time, in the morning when Christ was crucified, and in the evening when Christ has died, then with the daily sacrifice, then the priest, then he has went into the holy place with that fire and incense, But then he was always given to look at that veil. Then there was no entrance, of course. There were also those, the priests, that had to put oil in the candlestick and every Sabbath day, new loaves on the table of showbread. But now there was only one time in a year that someone may enter through that veil and that he would not die. And that was the high priest on the great day of atonement, when he went in with that blood of the slain goat and that he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat upon the ark. But that was the only time that one was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies, which is a type of the heavens. Thus for the Old Testament church, what a solemn matter that veil was. That spoke of a separation in paradise when the Lord has created mankind. Then there was no veil. There was no separation. Are there souls that are struggling with that separation and they know the reason? It is their sin. Their manifold sins, sins of omission, sins of commission, and yet that is a people that cannot miss the Lord. That is a people, they are souls that are given to beg for tokens of the Lord's favor. And they are so happy and they are so glad with those tokens, with those gifts. But the Lord has a people with everything that they experience, that there is still that veil, still that separation, and still the burden of sin upon their back. But now at the moment when Christ is cried out, it is finished. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Then we read that heavy and thick veil, that it was rent from the top to the bottom. Not from the bottom to the top. That is the religion of many. That it originates, that is an important question concerning religion. Where does the saving of the soul, where is the first cause, and where does it originate? Does it originate upon the earth in the free will of man? Or does the first cause lie with the Lord? Oh, it lies in the Council of Peace, where the Trinity is counseled concerning the salvation of sons and daughters of Adam. There Christ has given himself, Psalm 40, the verses 7 and 8, Lo, I come, the fullness of time he has come. He was born, tabernacled among the children of men, was that great prophet. But now on Good Friday, then he has offered himself as priest. And what that must have been for that priest, when suddenly, unexpectedly, and let us remember when we read the Gospel of Matthew, because otherwise, maybe boys and girls, you think, because of the earthquake, that is the reason why the veil is rent. But in Matthew 27, verse 51, then we first read of the rending of the veil, and then the earthquake. Thus that rending of the veil that was the Father's work, that was the Father's amen upon the perfect sacrifice of a son, that he was so satisfied in that sacrifice that his church may be gathered and that his church may be forgiven because the Lord is so just. Boys and girls can understand it, that the Lord will never punish sin twice. Oh, the love, the deep love, the unfathomable love of the Lord Jesus Christ with his death, that he was willing to sacrifice himself that his church may go free. And then to consider for whom he has given himself, and that now becomes the wonder for the people of God. For whom he has given himself. And does not mean, boys and girls, that we need to go right into the world. I hope he may be kept. But when the Lord works, and when he convicts, then I become a sinner. And then it is the work of the Spirit to show unto his people what great vile sinners they are, and that in the context of the holiness and justice of God, what that must have been for that priest when suddenly, unexpectedly, that veil, those colors with that cherubim, with those cherubims, when it was rent from the top to the bottom, and then he could look into the holy place. It is true. We never read that the ark has returned from captivity. Josephus writes that there was no longer an ark. In Zechariah 3 verse 9, different thoughts. But when we read of Joshua the high priest with those filthy garments, and that they were taken off and he received new garments, that is the garment of the righteousness of Christ and a mitre upon his head. Then in verse 9, then we read of that stone with seven eyes and that iniquity would be taken away. Oh, what a rich preaching for the Jewish people. What a rich preaching for needy souls that have become sinners before the Lord, that cannot miss the Lord. What a proclamation, because that rent veil, that is the divine amen of the Father upon his Son's work, that it was a perfect satisfaction and declared to the Jewish nation that the ceremonial laws that they have come to an end, where Christ has fulfilled all the sacrifices and all the types, then that rent veil that declares a free access. As I read in Hebrews 4 verse 16, boldness to enter in unto the mercy seat. Then that rending of the veil that declares a new dispensation, that the separation between the Jewish nation and the Gentiles that would be done away with. Oh, that rent veil, that was a foreboding what would soon take place in AD 70, because the Jewish people, they have rejected their Savior, that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Let us first sing. Psalter 109, the four stanzas. The offering on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. And what follows, Psalter 109, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the work of a triune God concerning the cross of Golgotha. The sons pronounced victory, the Father's remarkable testimony, and now thirdly, the Spirit's wonderful application. And then we read in verse 39, and when the centurion which stood over against him. And so in this evening hour, when we may be under the proclamation of these text words, then we stand also over against him. The Son of God, who was crucified and who has died. And then congregation, we cannot remain the same. And what do we not now all need? And that is by the first time and by renewal, the enlightening and the application of the Holy Spirit. Christ has prayed the first cross word, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That is the picture of the unconverted. Because my unconverted fellow travelers, if you would have a deep impression of the awfulness of sin, the guilt of punishment, then you would not sin so easily. But then you would be more on your knees, asking the Lord to keep from temptation and to convert. Oh, it is true. That also applies to the people of God. Do you know what seeking souls need to learn? That with attempting to earn their salvation by their works, that they have counted the blood of Christ an unclean thing. But Christ has prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that prayer has been answered in a remarkable way on Calvary's hill. Oh, the thief on the cross. Let free willers tell me how that works. They have both railed, and they have both mocked, both ready to fall into hell. And then suddenly became all different with the one thief. He has addressed the other thief, dost thou not fear God? Seeing we are in the same condemnation, and we justly, this man has done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. But now also the centurion that is stood at the foot of the cross, it is specifically mentioned, stood over against him. Then providential happenings combined with the word of God was used by the Holy Spirit for his conversion. And then we read, and when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost. And then, of course, much more has happened. The three-hour darkness. And then when we compare the gospel scripture with scripture, in Luke 23, verse 47, it is simply written, saw what was done. And then in Matthew 27, verse 54, then we read more than that centurion, because we read, they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done. Thus then there is spoken of more than a single centurion, but of the centurion it is specifically mentioned in Luke 23, verse 47, that he glorified God, was used for his conversion. And then the centurion, in a short time, then he was instructed concerning the things of the Lord, because then he is stated in our text, truly this man, and in another gospel, then he has exclaimed that this was a righteous man. Another testimony, the seventh, and seven is the full number in the scripture, the seventh testimony that Christ was innocent. Thus what a knowledge in a short time at the foot of the cross that centurion has received, that he was human, that he was a man, that he was a righteous man, but that he was also the Son of God. Thus then we see the Holy Spirit's wonderful application at the time of the crucifixion of Christ. And now in this evening hour, then as it were, then we have also stood over against him. And then I think that there are boys and girls that think, if I had now lived in that time, and I had stood at the cross and experienced that three-hour darkness, heard the words of Christ, the testimony and confession of the thief, of the centurion, oh, then surely I would have been converted. But what do we read? We even read that there were those that have mocked with the most holy things. Oh, young and old, may we be spared. May we be kept. Ask the Lord that you may keep a tender conscience and respect and reverence for the Lord with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost and everything that pertains to them. Then concerning that multitude, then many have left, but we do not read. Still touch them. Did not leave them cold. They went home troubled, because we read in Luke 23, verse 48, and all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. How do we compare to that people? Oh, maybe then you have to say, then I stand beneath that people, because that people was still troubled. And in God's house in this evening, I wish it was troubled. Oh, ask the Lord that he may trouble you by the saving work of the Holy Spirit. Because congregation, when that is experienced, then we do not want to lose that trouble till we receive an answer from the Lord. Then we also read of women that have ministered unto him out of the love of their heart. Ah, that is such a blessed serving, and that people shall never come short, but they have still stood afar off. Of a Mary with her anointing, we read, she was led a little further. She has done it for my burial, and now it is needful for those women that they are brought nigh through the blood. When we consider the tabernacle, then there were three doors. And I read in the epistle of Peter that the church is called to grow in the knowledge of their Savior. In 2 Peter 3 verse 18. And now when an Israelite, when he went through the corridor, then the first piece of furniture that he saw was that altar of burnt offerings with that fire and with that wood that needed a sacrifice. Then the second door that brought further in the way of instruction in the holy place with that golden altar of incense, the candlestick, and the table of showbread, clearly portraying the three offices of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that veil, that is an entrance into heaven, and we read of that veil in Hebrews 10 verse 20, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. What a rich preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ. Then he is hung on that cross with outstretched arms, inviting sinners, even great sinners. Then in this evening, then the call of the gospel comes to each and every one of us, that there is a sacrifice. And I read in Hebrews 9 verse 25 that he saveth to the uttermost. And what shall you do with that call, congregation? Is there a need concerning that coming to the cross? All may come, because the word of God that comes to each and every one in this evening hour, then there is still that white flag of peace. But through our deep fallen Adam, through our darkness, our ignorance, our enmity, our pride, and our self-righteousness, none will come. But now the wonder. It's our third point. The application. By the free and sovereign grace of God, by the work of a triune God, there shall be a people that shall come. I read thereof. In John 6, verse 37, all, not some, not most, not one hoof shall be left behind, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and all that come unto me I will in no wise cast out. Are there burdened souls in my midst, laboring with these most holy things, needing a sacrifice? Then what a rich preaching. And the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 8, verse 22, he has declared, is there no balsam in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Then why is the health of my people not healed? Ah, for needy souls. Then what precious invitations are those souls they experience? What I read in Isaiah 45, verse 22, that at times at the ends of the earth, but then Christ declares, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God, I am the Savior, and there is none else. Oh, what a precious invitation in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. Ah, when those poor and needy souls, with the burden of their sin, oh, we have the beautiful type in John 3, the verses 14 and 15. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, oh, are there those souls that are so serpent bitten? They learn that that poison goes all through their body, their sin. Lie under the sentence of death, O souls. Look then. Behold then, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We read in John 3, verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. Ah, then it is necessary for the people of God that they may be instructed further, the need that more light may shine on that cross where Christ is hung, where he is the Savior. We have read it together out of the confession of faith. The preciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name has been called Jesus because he has come to save his people from their sins. Amen. Lord, who was able to declare the unsearchable riches of the cross of Christ, ah, then surely we need the tongue of an angel. With thy help we may only stammer a little. But ah, those comforting words that by the foolishness of preaching that thou shalt save sinners, ah, Lord, may it have taken place that there may have been souls that may have glimpsed, that may have looked, that may have seen, that may have believed, that may have embraced, that the dear Son of God, that he has also hung on the cross, for me. Lord, bring us safely to our dwellings. Care for us the remainder of this week. Bring us together on the Lord's Day, when in a special way we hope to commemorate that He is risen indeed. Forgive us of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 264, the first four stanzas, come. Let us sing before the Lord new songs of praise with sweet accord. For wonders great by Him are done. His mighty arm has victory won. And what follows? 264, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.